Joining us from London, Ontario, our good friend, nutritional consultant, Pam Colleen, how are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am excellent. We're going to start with a topic that's fascinating because lately I haven't been getting enough. However, I'm not an insomniac. I can fall asleep. I just don't get enough sleep. And this is of my own doing. Probably you hear too often from people, I'll sleep when I'm dead. But not getting sleep is killing you.
That's right. It's really important to get a good night's sleep and to get enough sleep. And unfortunately, today in our fast new world, we're programmed to think that getting 6 hours or 5 hours of sleep a night is a good thing because it makes you more productive. But I see it being very counterproductive. So I'd say that 95% of my clients who come to me who are struggling with all sorts of health issues are having sleep problems. So they're not able to fall asleep. They're not able to stay asleep. And when they wake up in the morning, they feel as if they've been hit by a Mack truck. They just don't feel rested or revitalized when they wake up in the morning. So we have a very serious crisis with this problem. And few people come forward and say anything because they really think that getting little sleep is a good thing when it really isn't.
Now, recent study by the University of Pennsylvania shows that if you don't get enough sleep, you actually could get brain damage.
That's right. In this recent research, they're saying that 25% of their brain cells, these lab animals, 25% of their brain cells lost connections. Basically, they lost their brain's neurons. So it's causing potentially other problems. By not getting enough sleep, it could exacerbate things like depression, attention problems, and so on. And so we've got to get back on the sleep wagon. We've got to get back to sleeping 8 or 9 hours of solid sleep every single night. And unfortunately, most people, I'd say the vast majority of adults out there, aren't able to do that. And one of the reasons why they're not able to do that has to do, of course, with diet, which we can talk about. But it also has to do with our dependence on lots of stimulants that we're taking in the course of a day. So the more we tax our nervous system by using a lot of stimulants to give us basically synthetic energy to get us through the day, the more we exacerbate the sleep problem. So it becomes a very vicious cycle. So using things like sugar, caffeine, cardiovascular
Don't
exercise.
Cut my morning coffee, Kat. Do not even try to cut my morning coffee.
The thing is that, but Tom, it's one cup of coffee. It's not a huge amount of caffeine, I would assume. Maybe 100 milligrams of caffeine. But some people, what they're doing is they're drinking a pot of coffee a day.
Yeah, okay.
And so, and on top of that, they're drinking so much coffee that they're in a bad mood. So their mood is adversely affected. Their attention is adversely affected. Their sleep is adversely affected. So it's a very potent drug. Caffeine is a stimulant. And if you're going to use a stimulant, you have to use it very wisely, right? I'm not anti a cup of coffee, anti a cup of tea. I'm not saying that. I'm saying
anti-excessive
kind of
amount.
You have to use it wisely.
Right. Now, what's the difference? For me lately, I'm just not getting enough sleep. When I get into bed, I fall asleep. I stay asleep. I would just like to get more sleep. What is the difference for people? My problem is easily correctable. Mm-hmm. And I better do it soon because I don't want to end up, like the study says, with brain damage. But insomnia. And what is, and I guess it's a form of insomnia where people can, there's people who can fall asleep, but wake up in the middle of the night and then can get back to sleep. Like that form of insomnia, I know a lot of, my wife has that form of insomnia as well. So let's start with the first form of insomnia. I can't fall asleep. Is traditionally that's just overstimulation that we're just not getting
sleep, so your circadian rhythms are off. So at night, at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, essentially you're getting your second wind. So when you go to bed at night, you can't fall asleep. When you fall asleep and you can't stay asleep, this is a sign that your blood sugar is dipping. So you have very poor blood sugar control. Now, these two things are actually intimately related. And what it comes down to is regulating your blood sugar and, of course, getting enough animal fat in the diet. The fact that we've done so much to dysregulate our blood sugar today by eating such a high-carb diet that the adrenals have really taken a beating. And I can speak from experience because I didn't sleep basically throughout my 20s and my 30s. I had terrible insomnia. I couldn't fall asleep, couldn't stay asleep. If I did fall asleep, I'd wake up. So I really didn't sleep very much for most of my 20s and my 30s, and it was devastating. And I know now, when I look back, it had to do with my adrenal glands. And I, you know, going from medical doctor to medical doctor to medical doctor didn't help me whatsoever, because they didn't understand how the adrenal glands work. And they still don't today, because I have client after client after client who comes to me and they have this problem. They've been to numerous medical doctors and none of them has been able to solve the problem. In fact, very tragically, what is happening is these people are being put on pharmaceutical drugs, which can make the matter much, much worse.
So, all right, let's take a break, because I got a question, but it's going to take too long of an answer to do now. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about our sleep patterns. Mm-hmm. And I like this phrase that we see too many people today are tired and wired.
Yes.
They're both. It's like I'm tired and wired at the same time. You are like that just must be awful in terms of having to, I want to fall asleep, but I can't fall asleep, or I wake up and I can't get back to sleep. So we'll get you to sleep, hopefully not with this conversation, but we'll get you to sleep properly when we come back, 16 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, Pam Colleen is our guest here on News Talk 610 CKTV. She's a nutritional consultant down in London, Ontario. We talk to Pam on a regular basis, approximately every 2 weeks, and get her input on matters. And we're talking about sleep, though, because sleep is such a great determinant of health, and can lead to poor sleep, can lead to so many health disorders. And Pam, what about this notion? I mean, we talked about tired and wired, and you talked about stimulants, but as well, so many people, you know, discuss that when, because of artificial light, we're able to extend the day and you can sit and watch TV or play a game or whatever. It's like, no, you got to, but when you go to bed, I mean, the most you want to do is probably read a book for a little bit to, I guess we have to slowly shut the brain down almost, get the brain into a relaxed state. And they can't just do it by turning off the TV, because if you fall asleep after turning off the TV, it may be a sign that you are overtired and that you'll fall asleep. You probably need more sleep then.
That's right. Yeah, you get stuck in a vicious cycle. So the wired and tired feeling, Tom, has to do with the fact that the adrenals have two different sections in them. One section of the adrenal glands is to produce the fight or flight hormones. The other part of the adrenal glands is producing the chillaxing hormones, right, the chillaxing chemicals. And so what happens is people feel wired and tired simply because they're putting out way too much adrenaline throughout the day, because they're basically making a lot of bad choices. And the other part of the coin is that when the body is in this fight or flight mode, it doesn't want to produce the chillaxing hormones. So this is the paradox, this wired and tired feeling. And so what we have to do to master this is we have to get the adrenal glands to stop producing or stop overproducing these fight or flight hormones. And to do that, of course, that requires regulating your blood sugar by eating enough animal fat throughout the day. Other things people can do, of course, would be to find things throughout the day that help them relax. And most of my clients can't do things like meditate. Their brain is so out of whack that they can't meditate. But if you can meditate, if it doesn't make you frustrated, then meditation is a really good way to help bring down those stress hormones and allow the chillaxing hormones to come up, so that by the time you go to bed at night, you can indeed fall asleep. So I usually describe this to my clients as being the opposite of what people are taught in the gym. So when people go to the gym, they're training their bodies, right? They're training their muscles. They're training their heart. You know, that's how they're basically programmed to think. And I'm training my clients to do the opposite. I'm training my clients to do things to help make them relax. And that is one of the best tools you can do in order to help make sure that you're relaxed enough to fall asleep at night. Most people are just so wired at night, by the time they go to sleep, they're not going to necessarily fall asleep. And if they do fall asleep, they're not going to have a good quality sleep.
Dan is in Fort Erie. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. A little bit tired.
All right. You got a question to Pam about sleep.
Well, the one thing that hasn't been brought up yet, and I know myself and many others like me, you know, is the economy or the job situation. I know a lot of places, like in Niagara, Fort Erie exactly, is where, you know, the plants have closed, the jobs have moved. So now all of a sudden, instead of driving to work 15 minutes, you might have an hour or so commute. And, you know, there's no more like, you know, getting off at 4 o'clock. Like, people are working till 6 o'clock at night. By the time they, you know, leave work, battle traffic, get home, it's like 8:30. They're eating dinner at like 9 o'clock at night. And to go by the whole idea of, well, you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, then, you know, you're looking like you got to go to bed at like whatever time, you know, like 2 minutes after you finished your dinner at night or something.
Hey, yeah. Dan, before I go on, I also received a text similar to what you said. And I think this is part of our modern world problem. The texter says, Pam, and this kind of goes with what Dan said. I agree we need more sleep. However, some jobs require that we work 10, 12 hour shifts. Combined with this with kids' activities and helping with homework and housework, it's difficult.
That's right. It is very difficult in this fast new world. This is a synthetic world that we live in. This is unprecedented in the history of mankind that we work this hard. You know, for over 99% of human history, we were hunter-gatherers, and we lived in tribes, and we were migratory, and so on. And evolutionary biologists, when they examined humans before the advent of, or the invention of agriculture 10,000 years ago, that really we only worked about 17 hours a week, Tom. We only worked 17
hours. That's about my schedule.
I mean, it's unrealistic to think we can go back to that today, but I'm just saying this because that's more what our bodies are designed for, is not the workload that we're seeing today, but a more modified workload.
So how do we adapt in a situation like Dan's, who, you know, longer shifts, has to commute, or the texter, it's like, well, I have all these responsibilities. I can't just shirk it off and say I'm going to bed.
Right.
How do we adapt? Do we just have to make sleep a greater priority then?
It has to be a priority, number one, and you have to limit the commitments you have outside of work. And this is one of the biggest challenges I have, Tom, when I'm working with people who have adrenal fatigue, adrenal burnout, you know, mood issues and so on, is I have to brainstorm with them to try to find ways for them to limit their activities if they are working a full-time job. So they aren't doing volunteer work outside of work. They come home at night, they put their feet up, they relax, they watch television, they watch movies. The weekends, they're not running to this function or that function. They just learn to relax and try to recuperate a bit on the weekends. So it takes a tremendous amount of discipline, because unfortunately we have a lot of peer pressure from all sorts of different sources for us to be busy from, say, 6 or 7 in the morning till midnight. And like I said, unfortunately, there's a point where you're just going to run out of gas. I know I sure did. By the time I was in my early 20s, I collapsed living that kind of lifestyle. So, you know, our batteries are only so full, and we can't just keep depleting and depleting and depleting them when it's just not natural to live in such a hurried, fast-paced society.
Dan, did that answer your question somewhat?
Well, yeah. I'll talk to my boss about that.
Good luck on that conversation.
Thank you.
But he understood what you, in terms of, well, you got to make sleep a bit more of a priority, and it's like, well, I understand. Yeah, we have we have family commitments, and I have to, you know, I got to make dinner and I got to do the laundry. No laundry fairy is going to come.
Yeah, the chores simply don't go away because you need to, you know, improve your circadian cycle or something.
Yeah.
No, it's a tough question to answer. It's just really relative to everybody in terms of reestablishing your programs through the day, you know, your schedule through the day, and try to find out what works. Because I realize that limiting certain activities may be unrealistic, but something has to be cut. Something has to be addressed in terms of slowing you down so that you can enjoy some relaxation throughout the day.
It's even been worse this winter because you got to get up half an hour early to like shovel your driveways, and the commute to work is hours are added every week just going through the bad weather.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dan, I appreciate the call. Take care, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Get some rest. That's all I can say. Get some rest. Pam, always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Tom.
What's coming up soon with you? Any speeches?
I have some classes coming up in April and May. So I'm teaching April 2nd and April 9th. I'm actually teaching my sexual healing class, which is about the adrenal glands and the importance of sleep and things like that. So that class is coming up by next Wednesday. And then April 30th and May 7th, I'm teaching my class on digestive wellness. People can just find out more information on my website, which is just pamcolleen.com. And I do have a Facebook page where I post these classes as well.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Thanks, Tom. You take care. Bye-bye.
28 minutes after 11 o'clock, there's Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, and this time on sleep and disorders and making sleep a priority. I just don't. Well, lately I haven't. Well, the Ice Dogs were last night. Who could go to bed after that excitement? I was wired. Too much adrenaline. Quick break on the program. We talked about